Yirot Nifulot. Fallen fears. All fear that the source is fearing Hashem. We don't fear Hashem. So Hashem gives us all kinds of fears, from a cow, from a dog, from, I don't know, from the field, whatever it is. Hashem gives us, from ayah, from heights. Hashem gives us that feeling of fear, a real fear, to say Hashem, to take that feeling and say, that's how I have to fear Hashem. Like I fear the heights, I might fall. That's how I have to fear from Hashem.
The energy that we have for that fear.
The fear of Hashem. Abayna talks about that, that it means to elevate the fear to its source. The source is Hashem. It's worth it. So we're talking about that they're going now to Uman. 1971, they're on the way to Uman. They're in the fancy Cadillac or whatever car they had, black car, with one of the Russian guys, and Shmuel and his buddy and the driver. And they're going to...
The woman guy did not show up.
Baruch Hashem. So, start the car, and they're on the way. It was a summery day. It was beautiful weather. In the far distance, we saw the edges of Uman. Well, even the sky was smiling, he says it. Even the sun, the frozen sun, was smiling. It was summer then. The whole journey, Shmuel was very enclosed with himself in his internal world, personal world. No one could understand, but his face, it looked like he had a great pleasantness in his face. He was calm, and I'm going to the Rebbe. And he was also excited, very much. You could see on his face excitement. Shmuel prepared himself 40 years for this moment. 40 years in preparing himself for this moment. Like we get on a plane, we go, we don't know what's going on with us here. The way from Kiev to Uman takes 3 hours about. So Shmuel took 40 years to get there. He's traveling the whole time to Uman. Since he knew about Uman, he was traveling to Uman. He couldn't physically get there. He was davening, him yearning and singing, Shalit Tzion Asher Ahavti, and I want to go to Uman. Every night. The vehicle entered Uman itself. For a short time, short part of time, he was driving to the city. Then he stopped. There was no fingering, there was no gates of gold, there was no red carpet. He just stopped in the corner of Pushkina and Bilinsky. Which is today the big square in Uman, if anyone knows, on top above the two. There wasn't even a little cardboard that writes and says that it's Rabbi Nachman, the rest of it. There was nothing.
Well, did they know where to stop?
Yes. They knew.
So they told the driver?
They knew the streets. So we need Pushkin, Akinadin. It was only a little gate that screeches for every wind blow, you say? It was a little field, little backyard, 2 square meters, and a crazy goya in charge of it. It was crazy.
In the house, yeah.
The time as if it stood from moving. My heart, says his escorter, it looked like it was going to jump out. I felt my heart, this is it, not optional, this. I felt my heart going to jump out from its place. To the feet of the house, between the two windows, who built the house? A Jew built the house. The rest of the house built the house. And he built with 2 windows. So everyone knows that the members, because of the communists and everything, that between the 2 windows is a tzion. The tzion is between the 2 windows. That's how they know where the tzion is. The whole story, how they revealed the tzion, because the Nazis bombed it. Gedalia Flair and someone else. Yeah. So yeah, they all story. They knew about where it is. They knew exactly where it is. And they fell asleep. And they knew, showed them. They all story. Anyways, Kitzo, there's Evan Ashtia, light. That's the highest. That's the light of the world. For this great place of the world, Uman, nothing there. The hearts of rest of his Hasidus and Hasidim were beating for decades. 70 years of communist ruling. The place where Rabbein was buried. Top. They're going to go, right? They're going to go in. They reach the house. The owner of the house, a Ukrainian goya, an old Ukrainian goya, a little bit nuts, he said, no, you're not opening the gate. So Shmuel also saw it as a spiritual thing. Even the last meter, the Sitracha is trying to fight a Jew from going to Kerem. Yeah? So, whenever a Jew tries to do good for Hashem, the Sitracha comes to prevent him from doing it. Zuveida, the evil Zuveida, that's her name, is Goya. She lived in this house for many years. 40 years ago, she knew that there's all kinds of weird things going on in the backyard, all these Hasidim coming, lying down, what's going on, I didn't know what to do. Right? So she asked, she was afraid from the communist ruling. She asked, is this an organized Torah or not? Is it with Rishmi, Yechon Rishmi? Official, is this official Torah? And then, yeah. But they came without the lady, the guy, remember? She had all the documents, and they didn't have it.
But it was an official car.
Yeah, but still. Anyway, they had to go back to town. They went back to the town to the Iriyah. No, in order to get it, he had to go back to town to the Iriyah of Uman, to the government of Uman, to see that they have permission. Shmuel at those furious times, right? The Buddha says, yeah? I'm arguing with the Baal HaNabayit. And then I saw Shmuel disconnected himself from the world. He doesn't know anything. He just began saying Tikkun HaKlali. He's close enough. I understood little Shmuel. He was scared from that they'll say no and throw him out. If not now, so when? When I saw that, I also stopped and I started saying Tikkun HaKlali. When we finished, we asked, first of all, we'll say Tikkun HaKlali. Then we'll see what's going on. We got already up here. Then we asked the driver to drive us to the Iriyah, so we get the permission to go in. He took us there. We started running from one thing. Each one said, no, he knows. At the end, after a few telephones to Kiev and stuff like that, finally got the paper that they could go into the backyard, that they're officially here in the Uman. Slowly, quietly, they walked in on the edges of their, on the tiptoes, I say in this thing, tiptoes, right? Into Kodesh HaKodoshim. And Shmuel disconnected himself from anything else around him, didn't know anything. He had such calmness on his face, as if someone went back home, as if he reached his father finally. His holy eyes that were always closed were completely open like that. And there was light in his eyes. It wasn't just lying, going on a tzion. It was a first meeting with his Rebbe. And then he said only one sentence. It was Chav Zayin Tammuz, the 27th Tammuz. And he said, there's an opinion that the 27th of Tammuz is the Ilula of Yosef HaTzadik. That's what he said. Yeah. We know that it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. There's opinion also on 27th of Tammuz. And didn't say anything else. And then he starts out in the Kasha, and he's saying word for word, Tikkun HaKlali, very respectful, as if he's standing in front of the Rebbe Mamash. The Rebbe is alive, sitting there. He's talking to him. And then, suddenly, without any... I'm sorry, I can't stop, even though the time passed. It's fine with you, right? And then suddenly, without any expectation, I didn't expect it, I didn't see it coming, nothing. In the third pasuk, or the first capital of Tehillim, when it says, L'kdoshim asher ba'aretz, the holy ones which are in the land, and we say in Tikkun HaKlali, in the first chapter, in the third pasuk, he burst out crying. He sang over and over, L'kdoshim asher ba'aretz. His face turned purple, blue, red. And then he stopped saying Tikkun HaKlali, he was crying. Talking to Avenu, and he was crying, Abba, don't go from me. Father, don't leave me. That's what he said during the Gemara. His face, it was white, all kinds of colors. Like a little kid who's holding onto his father's belt. Don't leave me, I'm not like that. That's how it looked. And continue another 3 words, and also again, burst out crying. They were there for 3 hours. 40 years of anticipation, burst out in these 3 hours. The Yudel said, the escorter said, that crying, the 3 hours of crying of Shmuel, continued with me my whole life. My whole life I remember those 3 hours. I wish he had some feeling, huh? Then after Tikkun HaKol, he said all the whole tefillah. Then he davened for Rav Pilinsky, which died the year before. Then he said davened for him, they go to Uman. Then he mentioned all the sick people he davened for, and then he mentioned other people which are, they don't have children. For half an hour he's mentioning names. And then he said, I realized that Shmuel was connected to anyone who had a problem. He davened for everyone. Anyone who just told him, he remembered the name. And then for 15 minutes, he just lay down like that, straight on the floor. It was just floor. Yeah?
In the house.
But not in the house, in the yard.
In the yard.
After 3 hours, the driver comes in. Says, the time is, we have to go back to Uman, at the Kiev. Then there was a very, very difficult little Shmuel. He walked to leave, and he suddenly came back. He went back and forth. How many times? Many, many times. When at the end he left, he says, 40 years, he said, there's a slaughter, 40 years, I'm waiting for this moment, for this great day. Mother Frank, his grandson, was going to Uman 5 years before the communists fell. So he was there, it was all kind of problems, he goes to Uman, this, that. So his grandfather told him, 40 years that you're in for going to Uman. You think it's going to come for you like that? 40 years I was waiting to go to Uman. You think you're going to go so easily? Anyways, so continue with the Shmuel tomorrow.